Donald in the Kitchen talks about food. Donald in the Kitchen talks recipes. Donald in the Kitchen talks about lots of other things on Community Radio. Welcome to the Donald in the Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We gather here once a week around our kitchen table to talk about food, farming, advice, recipes, and opinions. And we come to you from the studios of KHOI Community Radio in beautiful downtown Ames. Well, we are glad for Community Radio, and we are glad for summer. Donnie, there are things blooming all over the place. It's lovely, and like you said, the mosquitoes are out. I found some.
Yep, and we're starting in with berry seasons.
Oh, looking forward to that. June berries?
Oh, yes. Okay, so Judy Henry from the Berry Patch brought me some... No, not June. Honeyberries.
Oh, you're talking
honeyberries. I'm talking honeyberries. So I noticed last year that Practical Farmers of Iowa did a honeyberry field day and all about the virtues of the bush and the antioxidants and how climate friendly they are and all of that sort of thing. But nobody talked about the flavor. So I said, I wonder what they taste like. And I knew Judy and Dean had some out at the Berry Patch, so I ran into her and I said, what about these honey berries? She said, well, they come before strawberries, so they're quite early. So she brought me, she said, it's not a big honey berry year, at least at her farm. But she did manage to bring me a couple of cups, which I made into a little jelly. And I am here to report that the flavor is fantastic.
And I'll report too, because I dipped
you
my...
You tasted it. I made a jar for Lon and Joe and one
so
for
good.
Me. And it's sort of like a grape without the Welch's kind of flavor. It has a nice tang to it, a beautiful color, and it's very high in antioxidants. I was worried that the honeyberry production that is kind of being suggested as appropriate in Iowa might turn out like Aronia berries, which I really don't.
Well, they have a singular taste, a distinct
taste. They do.
This is a very lovely berry. And I found out that honey berries are also called
Hascap.
Hascap, which is an awful funny word for a berry, but H-A-S-K-A-P.
Hascap. Right, that's because they were, I think they were originally from Siberia, and then the Japanese started growing them, and they really are lovely. So if you're at a place where you can pick... honeyberries, do so. You won't be disappointed. And then the other things, the June berries. My June berry is loaded. They're kind of fun, but they're not, I'm not running around picking them and making jam. They're pretty light on flavor, but the birds love them.
And they're very good to eat out of hand, and they're lovely on ice cream because they do have a little seed in them, but that can kind of be part of the texture of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So that's good. And things are also blooming, I mentioned. At this time of year, I'm always surprised when things show up. A big stalk shows up.
Hard to read. Make it. Yeah. Big stalk shows up on?
My valerian.
Oh, you grow valerian. Oh, my, my.
Yeah. Well, in the back of the garden. I mean, you know, it's one of those things that show up. And it's this big white flower. It's most wonderful. Yes, it is. And the marigolds are coming and all kinds of good things and daisies and all good, all good. Well, I want to mention something else that is, well, blooming, growing, doing things well is the sorrel in my garden. For those of you who don't know what sorrel is, it is a leafy green that is very lemony. Very, very lemony.
Yeah, it looks like a pointy, larger spinach.
Yeah, it is. It's very green and it's very hardy. It comes back almost every year. And it's very good.
And doesn't it have oxalic acid in that thing in it that makes your mouth kind of go...
Yeah. Like, well, spinach has got that too, oxalic acid. And I ran across your recipe for creamy sorrel soup. And this is from the food52.com recipe website. And I, well, actually, my husband made this soup, and I, where'd you get this recipe? Oh, I don't know. He said some of some website that had this strange name, and it's Food 52. And we've run across the Food 52 website here before.
Yes, they have usually fairly reliably good recipes.
Yes, they do.
They try to sell you very expensive merchandise as well. They're a bit trendy, but the recipes are good.
The recipes are good. And since I didn't have to buy any Food 52 trendy things, I just went out to the garden and got most of this stuff, except one thing. Okay, for the creamy sorrel soup, besides some fresh sorrel, which is not hard to grow in Iowa at all, this is the recipe. 2 tablespoons unsalted butter, 1 cup yellow onion, small diced, 1/4 cup carrots, small diced, 1/4 cup celery, but I used half of a celeriac root. I wanted a celery sort of flavor, and I used for that, a celeriac root. 2 cups starch.
You could have used lovage, too.
I could have, too, but the celery, I wanted something kind of crunchy and had some body.
Gives the body, too. Body. Yeah.
And two cups starchy potatoes diced. And then you sweat all this in a light slow saute in the butter till the vegetables are kind of soft, and then add 1/3 cup basmati rice, 4 cups vegetable broth, and simmer that for a good long time until everything is good, and then. When everything is done, which takes about a half hour, because those are pretty hefty vegetables there, you cook the rice and potatoes until they're tender, and then add 1 cup cream and 2.5 cups sorrel and a little bit of thyme and salt. Now, the sorrel, you don't want to cook that a long time because the sorrel turns...
Because it's like spinach.
It turns to mush, and you want that nice, fresh little flavor. That was a very good soup. Creamy sorrel soup. Okay, well, this last Saturday, well, actually, the past Saturdays, Donna was talking about this farmer's market vendor, and she was talking about raw milk goat cheese at the Ames Farmer's Market. We found our guest today because of cheese, because Donna told me I just had to go taste this stuff, and so I did. Joining us at our kitchen table today is Diana Smith from Simple Life Farms from Winterset, Iowa. Welcome, Diana.
Thank you. Sorry for the technical difficulty.
Oh, well.
We got you here.
We got you here, and welcome to our kitchen table. We're good. Well, your products are wonderful. Donna brought in some that we can taste as we go along here. And tell us about Simple Life Farms in Winterset, Iowa, and goats. You do goats.
How many goats?
Tell us about your goats.
Well, we're milking 55 right now. They're adorable. They're like little dogs that come when they're called, when they milk. Spoiled, but they give lots of incredible milk that makes that cheese you're eating.
And what breed of goat are you working
they're
with?
They're La Manchas.
Okay.
They're a larger, higher production goat. Mm-hmm. Great temperament.
That's right. Good. So you could... Some goats are for meat, some goats are just for pets, but these goats are dairy goats. And you said...
Well, yeah, and you can't necessarily be in the dairy business without being in the meat business.
Very good. Tell us about that. Yeah.
Because you can't... So 50% of all babies born are going to be boys, just like in the cow dairy.
Yeah, and the boys don't give any milk.
they do not. As cute as they are, they cannot stay. So we previously have processed them. With COVID, the processors, they didn't take them anymore. After that, it was just cows and pigs, because everybody was so backed up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So now we try to sell them for pets. Hopefully there'll be a market for the meat again.
Okay.
It's not real popular around
yummy.
Here either.
No.
It is, and it's got to be cooked properly. Mm-hmm. But it's a very sustainable meat that is... If cooked properly, is very good, high in protein and very lean.
Tell us a little bit about the management of a herd of goats. Okay, so to have the goats milking, they need to be bred. Do you keep a billy goat, a male, or do you have lots of them?
Yeah, so
and how long does the process take?
Well, we had two bucks, and every year around, well, September, rut starts and mm-hmm. heat starts. And so we separate. We have two bucks right now. We need to get to buy another one this year for some clean genetics. But you have them, we called hand breeding. We put them together so we know who was bred to who and what day they're going to be born so we can be present for the birth. Because that has proven to be very important to make sure if there's complications, we're there to help.
So when did the babies come then? How long is gestation?
150 to 155 days.
And I hope you, certainly they don't all come at once. You're probably busy.
Well, St. Patrick's Day week, actually, is spring break, and we had 86 babies born in 1 week.
Okay. They do come all at once.
I mean, business-wise, it makes sense, but wow, it was...
Nobody got any sleep that week?
No. And if you remember this year, it was about 10 degrees.
Ooh, ouch.
So we were sleeping in the barn. And they would freeze if they were born. Most of the time, the mothers will not take care of them. Goats are not great mothers, so we separate them right away. They more often than not, you find them abandoned in the pen if you're not there.
Oh my!
Survival rate is high. Our survival rate is incredibly high because we're right there.
Huh. So you're milking the mothers and then giving the first milk to the babies in bottles.
Yes.
Whew,
and
that's a lot of work.
We always give their milk back to them. We never use replacer.
Mm-hmm. Well,
something I think we do a little differently. It's my daughter's a veterinarian, and we go by what she tells us. We trust the science when it comes to raising them.
Oh, good. Good advice. How many kids does a goat mom have at one time?
Anywhere between one and five.
Oh my goodness.
Twins are most common, and twins is what we've had this year. We've had one set of quads. I do not wish to ever experience that again. It was, they all want to come out at the same time, and it was a bit of a nightmare. But we did get them, and they all survived, but I do not want to do that again. So most common is twins, which is ideal because then they're not too big and have a friend as soon as they're born.
Oh, my.
Well, and they do stay friends for life. If two sisters are born, they will stay, sleep together, come into the parlor together, and they are best friends.
Oh, because they are herd animals.
So if you're breeding in the fall, when do you dry the mamas up and have no milk then?
Around October.
So from October till they're born... You're not making cheese.
Right. Actually, November. This year we're going to try to stretch it and go into November. We'd like to have some fresh for Thanksgiving.
Oh, me too. Thank you very much.
And that's the first year we're going to try to stretch a little bit. I couldn't do cows. I do need those couple months off.
Yeah.
I would lose my mind if I did not. It gets a little intense.
Milking goats sounds pretty, pretty intense. I don't know. I have a few sheep, meat sheep myself. I do not know much about goats. I had a housemate that had some miniature goats that all I remember, they were impossible to keep any place you wanted them to be in. But Donna has had some experience with goats and milking.
Oh, I love milking goats, but you have to milk twice a day, right?
I love morning milking. I absolutely love it. I could just milk once a day most of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I like the interaction. I love the mornings. Night milking is not my favorite.
But you're using machines, right?
We have bucket machines, so we milk four at a time.
Oh.
We have two buckets, and it's a vacuum system.
Oh, okay. I've never
seen
it.
It's not real high tech. But we're getting there. The bigger we get, then we'll probably expand to an actual, like, 10-stall parlor.
Very good.
So how is it still the things that clamp onto the udder and...
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I've only done hand milk.
Well, you're welcome to, you know, come down and milk at night.
There, see, Donna, it's a part, it's a job for you. There you go.
Yeah,
that's right.
Well, there is something very, I don't know what it is, being around all the bovines, but there is something very calming about milking.
And you get very close to them. They see you as part of their herd. They absolutely see me as one of them.
Yeah. I mean, I only had one goat once for a few years. So I hand milked her, but I loved this may sound a little weird, but I love the feeling when you're hand milking, you actually kind of lean your head on her and get in there. And it's really, they smell great if you're doing
the
right thing.
They smell good. Yeah. They're warm. And if it's a cold day, they're warm. My very favorite picture was one of my first goats my daughter caught, and I was tired and I had my head resting on her as I was milking, and she was one of my favorites, and it's a beautiful picture.
Yeah.
I just absolutely love it.
Wonderful.
Well, so how did you get into the goat business?
Well, so my husband was a high-level officer at a local company, and just kind of came home one day and said he's done, and we already lived on the farm, didn't do anything with it, but we had the land. And I stayed home with my kids. I never had a job.
You were raising kids.
So I just said, well, I'll do something to get the farm going. And I thought about goats because they were adorable. I was a city girl. I'd never even seen one. Had no idea what they sounded like. Never touched one. Did a lot of research. Decided I was not ready as soon as I got to the kidding chapter. Started with 26 chickens. And then decided I was ready to move on. And we did. And we started with two. And it was just family run then, and it is still just family run. My kids milked and took care of the animals and helped with kittings and the whole time they were. And I don't think any of them would say, I don't know if they would ever want to do it, but I do not think they regret any moments they've had or things that they've learned here.
Wonderful family entertainment, right?
Oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely a bonding experience. When you go through a lot, you learn, and you learn a lot. You learn about life.
Very good to start with chickens.
Yes, very good. Yeah. So how do you fence your goats? That's always a huge issue.
It is an issue, and it's not too bad right now. They don't try to leave because there's plenty of food. They always have hay, but they enjoy going and browsing. Mm-hmm. And it's always, grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. And they like to go see the neighbors and eat their apple trees. Rose bushes. Yeah, things like that. But electric netting is what we use.
Ah, and they have learned, and do they respect the electric netting?
They do, but they also know when you've turned it off.
Oh, they're very smart. Right?
They're very smart. So you have to be careful because they will... They know, but yeah, that's what works. That's works the best. We do a goat electric, and then we can move it so they have fresh pasture because we do a pasture rotation. So, because goats are not supposed to eat below their knee.
Oh, that's right. Explain that.
Well, if they get too far into the dirt, then there could be a parasite issue.
Mm-hmm. So you encourage them to. Well, I've heard that you should make like. Their mangers or the places they could eat could be higher than putting feet on the ground.
Right. We they're up quite high. I mean, they can reach them, but they also like to, like, get on something to eat, to climb.
Oh, yeah. They like to climb trees and
they do
eat all the lower branches. And they're so adorable.
I used to have a beautiful apple tree right outside of my house.
Used to, right?
Used to, until somebody escaped and no longer have that apple tree. Probably won't try it again.
Well, I've heard that goats will eat just about anything. What are they supposed to eat to be good milkers? Is there a formula?
Well, and I think that's a myth. I think if they're not fed properly, they will go after anything.
Mm-hmm.
We grow our own dairy-grade alfalfa, which is their main diet. And then we have our land split up. So they can go browse and find what they need. And they got a little ADD. They will bounce from thing to thing. They're not like sheep or cows, but they just graze. They jump around. And they like weeds, trees, brush.
So what kind of, what size of an acreage do you need to support that size of a herd?
Well, we have 65, 20 of which is all in alfalfa.
Uh-huh.
And I would not go any smaller than that with the size of herd we have,
mm-hmm.
Just to keep everything fresh, because it does not take them long to beat it down.
Oh, I bet. Yes.
Well, I have to say, and we're going to do some tasting of some of your cheeses and talk about the cheese making part of it. But whatever you're feeding them, you have got it right, because goat cheese, you know, people go, some people don't like the flavor of goat, which.
Oh, I hear it. Believe me.
Yeah, I'm sure all the time. I really like goat flavored, but yours is, you don't immediately taste and go, oh, that's goat. It just, you note how complex it is, but it's really has a clean, wonderful, wonderful flavor. So.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. We worked very hard to try to, I mean, it is all the milk. And I believe that the Chev is basically the milk. I mean.
Yeah. Well, we're going to come back and talk about cheese making and all the other good stuff you make out of goat milk. And first, I want to break off here and say this is KHOI Community Radio, and you're listening to the Donalana Kitchen, Tasty Radio for the Heart of Iowa. Welcome back. We are talking goats and goat cheese, and we're going to taste some here. We are talking goat cheese with Diana Smith from Simple Life Farms, a fine person that manages goats and brings us wonderful products from Winterset, Iowa.
Well, the first week I found you at the Ames Farmers Market, you do have a line of cosmetics and creams and soaps that you make from the goat's milk. And you had some really good aged goat cheeses. And now you also have fresh goat cheeses. So in Iowa and a lot of other places, aged raw milk, whether it's goat or cow, can only be sold if the cheese is aged, 60 days.
And we don't sell anything aged until 4 months just because the flavor profile isn't there.
But now you told me you have recently invested in a pasteurizer, so we can also have fresh goat cheese, which is, here, Lon, I'm going to pass around tastes so we can have a taste.
Yeah, tell us about the cheese making process. Actually, you're talking to us via Zoom from your processing room, and I see behind you. Yeah, tell us what goes on when you get milk.
So we milk them first, and it's in the room adjacent to us is the milking parlor, and then next to that is called a milk house where the milk is stored. And then there is another room that is the clean room or the buffer room. Mm-hmm. And then so you have a chance to, I mean, you have to change your clothes. Everything cannot be the same when you come in this sterile space. And then the milk is piped over into the vat. And then whatever cheese we're making, my husband does all the pasteurizing. He's taken a huge role since we started with the bigger equipment, and he's an incredibly detail-oriented person. So we now have, when I did it alone, there was Post-it notes everywhere, and it was a, you know, I did things on, well, the way I do them. And now everything is very detailed. And obviously the product coming out shows it. But he pasteurizes, does the fresh, comes to the temperature. It's very heavy lifting to get those in the draining bags. And he does that. And then we flavor it together after it drains.
Well, Lana and I are sort of licking off spoons of this fresh goat chevre. And I like to buy it unflavored because I want to taste the actual cheese. And of course, then I have the luxury of flavoring it myself if I want to. But it is so creamy.
Yes, it's lovely.
It's really smooth. Sometimes goat milk can be a little granular and maybe drained a little too much. You really have hit the sweet spot with this. And in terms of flavor, it's got that nice tang.
Donna, you used the term chèvre. Now, what is that?
It's the French word for goat. And it's right. But it's also often just used to call fresh cheese. So with this fresh cheese, you're basically, it's called a simple cheese because you pasteurize the milk, right?
Right.
And then what do you use to coagulate it?
Rennet.
You just put rennet in it, and then you let it drain till you get the consistency.
First, we do put a culture in, and I think that the cultures are pretty secret.
Yeah.
On what when we first started, I learned really quickly, people do not want to share too many trade secrets, which is understandable. Mm-hmm. So it's a trial and error on what cultures to use.
But you buy the cultures, right?
We buy the culture. Yeah. Every culture comes from France.
Uh-huh.
We get them from Dairy Connection. And so we culture first, then we rent it, and then it sits. And
how long do you let it sit and drain?
Draining varies on how much whey is coming out.
Uh-huh.
We judge by the feel of it, if it's time for it to come down. It's 12 hours for the 12 to 24 to culture.
Okay, and then the drainage is usually how long-ish, kind of?
Anywhere between 6 and 12 hours.
Yeah. Well, I whatever you're doing, you're hitting the sweet spot with this. I love it. It still has a good amount of moisture in it. It's really, really delicious. Very spreadable.
I can understand about trade secrets. It's kind of like trout fishing. You don't want to give away all your secrets. That's good. Let's get on to some other good cheeses here.
Okay. All right. So the other thing that I've got here is, the curds. These are cheddar curds. Give this a try, Lana. I bought these last week from you, and I have to say, I'm not a huge cheese curd fan. I don't normally buy them, but I wanted to taste everything that you're doing, and I was really pleased with these. I'm buying them again.
I'm not sure how much we're going to do those, honestly.
Of course.
They're incredibly laborious.
Ah.
Oh.
And I don't know if that's, we may occasionally do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it really, for what comes out, the process is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The process of cheddaring and then the cutting, and it's a lot.
So it's better for you to age it and sell it as the aged product?
Right, right.
Uh-huh.
I think so. Now, behind me, we just started feta yesterday.
Oh, how exciting.
Now, so that's our test batch.
Okay, now on your feta, you'll make it a little more firm than your fresh chèvre?
Right.
Okay.
Right. The process is different. You actually cut the curds with feta.
Oh, okay.
Where you don't do any cutting with the chèvre.
Okay. Does that mean will you have it by next Saturday's farmer's market?
No, because this will brine for 30 days.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll wait. I'll be very patient.
30 days. As long as it turns out, it's all, it appears to be. I've made it in small batches before, nothing this large, but we did it together yesterday, and I have no reason to think that it's not going to...
Well, that's exciting.
Not going to be pretty good, yeah.
Now, I also have two aged... let's see if you've got names on these. This is the 18-month-old... Amelia?
Yeah. So those are named... Those are the cheeses that were accidents. I said how I did things differently. I'm very all over the place. And I'm trying to make a stirred curd cheddar, but I didn't stand there and stir it like you're supposed to. I went and did something and came back. And then I ended up with this cheese that won Best in Show at the fair. And we swept it with it, different kinds of the same thing. So then I had to go back and try to think how many times I stirred and then when did I walk away.
Does that mean we're not going to ever have this one again?
We've gotten pretty consistent with it. It's helped having help in here. My husband or son is always with me, and and it does help.
Well, this Amelia, this 18, it's the first cheese of yours that I tasted, and I went, wow, this is a serious cheese.
It is. It's lovely.
I mean, it's one thing to make a good cheese, but this one has just unbelievable complexity to it. I would put this up against, you know, really any especially fancy imported European cheese. It's quite, quite good.
Yeah, you mentioned.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you mentioned you won some awards.
We win. Last 4 years we've been doing this, we've taken second and third the first year at the fair, and then we did first, second, third, and then
this is the Iowa State Fair.
Right. Unfortunately, this year, I mean, we will still enter, but we are the only goat dairy processing cheese now.
Really?
Everybody else has closed now, in the state.
Yeah. Donna mentioned that some goat milk people have, I haven't seen them
around. They kind of come and go, and it's unfortunate, but I hope you guys have some longevity because this is great. Like, now I'm tasting the cheddar. Did I give you some, Lana?
Yeah.
This is an 8-month cheddar. It's very nice. Diane,
it's a good macaroni and cheese.
What?
The cheddar's a good macaroni and cheese.
Oh,
it melts really well, and it seems to have a better flavor after it's been cooked in something.
Oh, I'll try it. I've just been sort of eating it out of hand. Do you know that the American Cheese Society is going to be in Des Moines again this year? Have you ever entered?
No, we did this year. They are actually coming here this year as one of their stops.
Oh, how exciting. Did you enter the Amelia in their tasting?
Not that one. I did not have that one. I actually got back. It had been at Iowa State, and Dr. Clark brought it back to me at the market the week before last, because it was on display at the fair, and she had kept it at their correct temperatures. Well, because Dr. Clark is an expert on all of it. I trust her. She's my go-to with every question. If my husband and I have any questions, we go to her. But anyway, so then I cut it, and we got it packaged, and we were pretty happy with something that was that old.
So that means you only had one wheel of it?
Right.
Okay, how many pounds in a wheel?
That one, I think, was about 8 pounds. They range from 6 to 9 pounds.
And what's your aging room like? Because 18 months is a long time to sit with the cheese.
It is, and we do not have a lot of space, so we don't keep them that long typically. We just have a cooler that we've converted to aging, made it so, you know, you have to fight because they want to keep the humidity out, and we want the humidity in. Mm-hmm. So we put humidifiers and different things so it's the right. And keep a hygrometer so it's the right humidity.
Well, if you're keeping your goats busy, for one milking.
I'm happy.
Yeah, for one milking, how much milk does that many goats give you?
Well.
Or how much in a day?
In a peak season.
In the peak season, we get about 30 to 40 gallons at a milking.
Mm-hmm.
So let's make
cheese. And we have some very high producers, and we have some pretty mediocre ones, but they tend to be able to stay if we like them.
I mentioned, I noticed on your website, yes, all of your goats are named, which as they should be.
They are.
Just like
they
all
are.
Dairy
Every
cows
one of
should
them.
Be named. Yes, yes.
that's Amelia is, that's, we still have her, and she's still in production. And she's beautiful and very calm. And now Matilda, who the other cheese is named after, is a little bit of a nut and has a lot of personality, which we thought that cheese did. She is retired, but she still comes in the parlor every single day to do a little quality control on the grain to make sure.
How
old friends get the right grapes.
Oh, good.
And,
good.
Yes. So what's the average sort of milking span age of a goat?
Well, we're just starting to actually lose a couple, which is been kind of a heartbreaking year. 10 to 12 years old seems to be when they're done. We try drying some off and letting them retire, but they go into a depression.
Oh.
When it's milking season and they don't come in, they get depressed.
Right. They're not following everything else with the, they're very herd oriented.
They are very herd oriented. And there's a pecking order in the milking herd and a pecking order in the dry herd. Because whenever one enters back into the milking herd, then there's a whole hubbub of who's in charge.
Oh, my.
So that's another reason we let Matilda come in.
So she feels like she's doing something still.
Right, right.
Management.
Geriatric management.
Very good. Your value-added products, your soaps and your lotions, were they part of your original plan, or you just thought, well, I have some spare time, I'll just make soap and lotion?
Well, when we were getting the dairy built, I did some research, and we found how helpful all that is for people with eczema and psoriasis and skin issues, which my whole family has. So that was how it started. And then it turns out it's helped a lot of people. And we're very careful with the ingredients. It's all 40% of the dairy grade quality milk, which is, you got to be careful with goat milk products. They can throw a little powder in and call it that. And then it's not the same.
We also don't
use any palm oil because of environmental concerns.
And do you have another room where you make all these products?
Yes. Yeah. I took my son's old room.
Very good.
Your kid grew up, right?
Yep. Yeah. We've taken over all of their rooms with production. We had four. We have four.
Very good. I appreciate you. I've always liked goat milk and goat milk products, and I like goat milk soap, so thank you. I am using some right now. Another thing about checking out your website and finding out more about your farm, Simple Life Farms has working dogs on it. How do the goats and the dogs get along?
They get along very well. We need to update that. We have lost both of those. Oh. Well, actually, all three of the dogs that are on the website.
To predation?
The Pyrenees are gone. Both have died. And then Jake was our Labrador that he was 15 when he died. Mm-hmm. But we do have two new lab puppies.
Oh, good.
And Walter is the yellow lab and absolutely loves the babies. He will come tell me when one is born.
Oh, wow.
If he doesn't think I'm out there fast enough, he comes in and gets all excited and keeps trying to get me there. And he's taken upon himself to help with bottles, which sometimes maybe he's not all that much help. But he keeps everybody in line. And then they do their job at night by... They bark all night.
Do you have coyotes? What do you have? Fox?
We do. Coyotes come through. We don't worry too much about them. Fox are a bigger issue around here.
For the babies,
Really? Yeah, for the babies. Really? And, of course, they got all our chickens. So we don't have chickens anymore.
Oh, my.
Fox are a huge problem here. Now, just during the middle of the day, you'll see one walking around. Yeah, they won't touch the big girls, but they do. It is a problem. We haven't lost any to one, but you have to be. Yeah,
that's
to
what you have to have the dogs, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it works out to have those animals that bark and cause a ruckus every now and then, especially on a farm. That's good. Ooh, I didn't know a fox would go after a small little. Really?
Well, tender. Okay. Well, and defenseless.
They'll get anything. I think they'll just get whatever they can.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and you, because the barn cats, I mean, they're all, I worry about them sometimes.
Yeah.
They have places to hide. Mm-hmm. You know, they go into bales of hay or whatever. But
so yeah, at night, challenge. Do you, are the goats like in a barn or are the babies in a barn?
Yeah. They're all, we have one large barn that we separate the pens. They can see each other. But they're not together until we move them over. They join the big herd when they're a year old.
Ah.
And then, so they're big enough.
And then they get their first breeding pretty soon? Or at what
age? They have to be 85 pounds. So if they're 85 pounds that first year, then they will. If not, then we wait till the second year.
So, all right, if you're milking around 50, how many goats total do you have?
So we have the yearlings from last year, about 80, and then about 160 actually right now, because we have about 85 new babies.
Wow. So you're feeding 160 goats.
We are.
Whew. I mean, of course, they self-feed, but yeah, still.
We do give the babies grain. As the adult goats, only the milkers, this time of year, only the milkers get the grain.
Mm-hmm. And that's in to the get winter, them to come into the barn, right?
Right, right.
Come in, and here's the candy.
Yeah, we do a grain ration that my daughter put together.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Keep those mamas healthy and milking.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's very good. I want to take a little time here to remind you again, this is KHOI, and this is the Donna Lana Kitchen. You can find out more about this radio station, this fine community radio station, and the Donna Lana Kitchen at www.khoifm.org. Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We're talking to Diana Smith about goats. How nice. Donna brought this up a little bit earlier. There seems to be a goat prejudice out there. I don't know. I've had friends of mine, well, actually a very good cook friend of mine, a very good chef that I knew quite a while ago, said, "Oh, goats, they're awful. They're smelly. They're not good. I would never, and I don't like the cheese. What is it? I often wondered if it was something in our Judeo-Christian history about Satan having horns. I don't know what it's all about, but I think there is some of that. Really?
I do. I don't know. Sometimes people feel the need to come up at the market and tell me, "I hate goat cheese. I hate goats." Okay. Thanks.
And have a nice day, too. Oh, my goodness. That's terrible. That's terrible.
It doesn't happen in Ames, I will say.
Oh, thank you.
We love Ames. We absolutely love Ames. We love Ames people. We love the market.
Oh, good.
Well, we love the market, too, and it was really busy last week. It was just wonderful.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Good. Rogine does an incredible job with that market.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad that you guys are coming. Explain to me what you're going to do with the American Cheese Society this summer.
They're doing a tour here. We're part of their schedule.
Oh, good. All right. The last time it was in Des Moines, which I don't know, maybe it was 7 or 8 or 10 years ago. If anyone is inclined to learn about cheese, when they do come to Des Moines, are they going to be in the convention center? They were last year.
I don't know.
Well, they do a lot of professional things, and people come from all over the country. But they also have, usually open to the public, their cheese tasting contest. So what the last time I went, and it was a big hall full of all kinds of, you know, the chefs, the aged cheeses, the fresh cheeses, and you were free to go around and try all of the entrants. And it's a mind-boggling taste. You know, I'm going again this year just because it is open to the public, and it is a delicious educational experience. And then for the attendees, there's all kinds of courses on different aspects of, you know, people. It's anybody who is an American cheesemaker can participate. And the American Cheese Society has done a lot to help Americans make cheeses that are every bit as good as anything coming from Europe or any other place on the planet that has really long cheese tradition. So
they have.
Yeah.
They have. And there's a lot of good cheese in this country.
Oh, there is. There is. And if you go and do the tasting, you'll find out. Which is why when I tasted your 18-month cheese, I thought that is certainly good enough to be entered into the competition. It's really...
I appreciate that.
Yeah. That was what?
No, that was just a really... I was very happy when we cut that and tried it. You don't know what you're getting into. Sometimes you cut them. You have no idea what it's going to be. You know, you've sat there and babied it for however many months.
Yeah, 18 months is a long time to wait to see what it's going to be like. I have to say, the other cheese, who's the one that makes the Prairie Breeze from Milton Creamery?
Oh, Milton Creamery.
Yeah, they have won awards for that cheese too. And I initially tasted it when they first began producing it, and I went, okay, this one's going to win awards too. And it really did. We make good cheese here in Iowa.
Milton does a lot of good things and such a nice person and willing to help.
Yes.
He is very willing to help the smaller dairies, which is nice.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So we want to say eat Iowa cheeses, especially goat cheeses.
Yeah. It sounds like, the element of surprise, the element of not quite knowing what it's going to be, and when it turns out to be good, that's got to be one of the joys of farming. What are some of the other joys that you experience by farming?
Kidding season is such a, well, it's bittersweet because you're tired and it's stressful. But there's just nothing quite like those new little babies. And then the attachment that the moms do get to us. And I love it. Sometimes I'll go out and I'll be a little early or whatever to milk, and I call them and they all come. And it's just the best feeling. It's like, wow.
It's true. They're the most delight. I mean, they're my favorite herding animal.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up in cow families and Guernseys and all that sort of thing, but I love goats. They're hilarious.
They are, and they all have different personalities. I mean, there are some that annoy me. I won't lie that they're good.
They're good people, right?
You know, you've got some that refuse to get up on a stand because they got to go, you know, see everything in the parlor first before they'll come up to milk. And then we have some that do the lap because we have an indoor and an outdoor, and one time wasn't enough, so then they try to come back through and fool you, and I get them all up on the stand. It's like, well, okay, you don't need milk. I just ate another bowl of grain.
They've come for the grain again, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a lot to...
So they don't hate it. I know there's some that see them in their little stanchions, because you put them in a stanchion and lock their head in, that they're not comfortable. Like, well, they do. They don't care.
That's good. And you have, sometimes you open your farm up to farm tours, and I see a thing that says goat yoga. What in the world is goat yoga?
Well, we did goat yoga for a couple of years. We've had, this year we had some issues with the weather, because your window is very small when all those babies are small enough.
Yeah.
But we have an instructor that comes and let one baby per person, otherwise it's a little overwhelming. And she holds a yoga class with all the babies there. Honestly, not much yoga happens. It's more pictures and holding of the babies.
It's like an adult petting zoo, right?
Oh. Right, exactly.
Well,
but
actually,
the babies love it, and they love the attention, and it's, people say how peaceful it is. We do it up on a field that's pretty high up. We have a very good view here. We're up on a hill in Madison County, which we're very, it's a pretty area. A lot of hills and
oh, good.
Green and trees. And
oh, good. Do you see?
So we are. We schedule tours for many size groups. We also do a walk with goats once a year where people come out and they can just kind of hang out with the goats and walk through the pasture with them, which is always really popular.
I want to do that. How do we find it?
Well, we haven't done it yet this year. I need to get one scheduled. Mm-hmm. And it'll be Facebook. I need to work on the website. It's not. It needs some help. We're going to change it and revamp it to be cheese so we can ship cheese in the state. We can't ship out of the state.
Ah.
But we can ship within the state lines. Mm-hmm. So we're going to redo it more of a cheese site than and have soap and lotion for also, but put the cheese up there.
Can the soap and lotions be shipped nationally?
Yes. Have issues, FDA getting involved, and it has to stay within state lines, so you're under the state umbrella.
For the dairy,
Right.
Okay. Well, so tell us your website.
SimpleLifeFarms.com.
And it's farm singular or farms plural?
Farms plural.
Aha. See, that screws up my website, my home all the time. I'm singular. You're a farms with a farmses. Okay, good.
SimpleLifeFarms.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
And what is Ames the only farmer's market? Where else do you sell?
Off the farm. And then we do some restaurants. We're right now in a couple Des Moines area ones. Hope to get into some more pretty soon. We took some samples out Friday for them to try, and hopefully they think what you do.
Which, I wouldn't want to eat at their restaurants if they didn't agree that this was fabulous cheese. So there. Yeah. So which restaurants have it now?
Clyde's Fine Diner in the East Village,
mm-hmm.
and Des Moines Golf and Country Club.
Okay. Are you with the, what's it called, the cheese shop?
No, my husband did go there Friday. And
so you might be.
To them, okay. So we might be. We'll see.
Okay. And farmers markets, just the Ames Farmers Market?
Just Ames. We used to do downtown Des Moines. But I just, like I said before, it's a stress-free, people understand what they're buying. And the people are just kind in Ames.
Oh,
and so I have kids that live there, so I can see them every Saturday.
So you found the Des Moines Farmers Market kind of not...
Stressful.
Oh. It is large.
It was just a lot.
It's so large.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
And it was kind of different after COVID.
Oh.
We didn't feel like it was the same market, mm-hmm. and made the decision to just do Ames.
Well, in Ames, we're thrilled. Our game. That's how I found you. So... I'm really happy to have all of this cheese. So thank you so much, Diana.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for the stopping by, and your opinion means a lot. We appreciate it.
Good. We'll see you Saturday.
Good.
Okay.
Good. We've been talking to Diana Smith. She's the goat person. She's the cheese maker. She makes all kinds of good stuff on Simple Life Farms, Winterset, Iowa. Well, we want to thank Diana for being with us, but we also want to thank the listeners that come and join us around our kitchen table here. We have been part of this community radio station for about going on 10 years now. I don't know. We thought we'd run out of things to talk about, but people like to eat. People like to talk about food.
And we just found this new goat cheese.
And see, we just have to tell you about it, too. So, you can find us on this radio station, but Donna, we have a podcast too.
We do. If you want to hear us on podcast format, you just, wherever you listen to podcasts, you put in Donna Lana, that's DonnaLonna, one word, second word, kitchen, and you will find us.
Right. So, we talk to good people on this radio program, and we talk about good food, and we're glad that you join us. You've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. We come to you live here on the radio. Yeah, people wouldn't know that we do this live, would you think? I mean, we never make any mistakes or anything. Okay. Anyway, we do this live every Tuesday at noon, and we repeat it at 7 p.m. KHOY 89.1 FM. You can find us at their website, stream, archives, all that kind of stuff. Put us on your device, all that sort of thing. Support this fine radio station. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We've had good music by the Barn Owl Band. And we'll go out with a tune called Welcome to Eleanor by Mike Bell when he wrote this for his daughter when she was born. It's called Welcome to Eleanor. So, eat good food and enjoy life.